بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد ما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد ما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brought us here together, mashallah. After our wonderful conversations about nikah and preparation, we've arrived very near the blessed month of Dhul Hijjah, which is a month of Hajj. And in the month of Hajj, it is an act of, it's many acts of ibadat, acts of worship that are being brought together. Hajj brings together what we call manasik, and these acts of worship or these rites that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put onto the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the previous Ummahs of the past are all based off the actions of, in reality, just one family. And that source of that one family, the main individual of the one family, was a man that we call Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. We could say definitively without a doubt that the second greatest person in all of history, with his name being given such mention across all different religions and all different areas and eras, it's Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. The only one who excels him in that is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But even then, the amount of praise that he receives amongst all religions, this is very exclusive to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's so dignified and distinguished on so many levels. And so, you know, there's so much that we can speak about him. And I'm very glad from Allah ta'ala, I thank Allah azza wa jal, he gave us a couple of weeks prior to the month of Dhul Hijjah that we can speak a little bit on him, inshallah ta'ala. And to really get from him and derive from him. Because his example is an example for all of mankind. Allah Ta'ala, he took Ibrahim alayhi salam as a Khalil, right? He became the close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of his titles, Khalil alayhi salam. Along with that, our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was someone that he said that when it comes to the people that resemble your Nabi alayhi salam the most, it is Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He is someone that subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala had specified his name amongst our ummah, that we will make sure to mention him even in our prayers. And we say the tashahud, and then we read the durood sharif, the most exalted or the greatest of all durood sharif salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama salita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, right? We find Ibrahim alayhi salam being mentioned amongst the durood sharif, right? And so there's so much that is in his name, there's so much that's beyond, that is involving this person. And so we have to really, you know, every year, alhamdulillah, we get an opportunity to talk about him. And in this year, I hope, inshallah, we can really just take in his personality, understand who he was, and hopefully, inshallah, implement his life in our own life, inshallah ta'ala. If you want to define his characteristic, we're going to talk about his sifat first, because there's so much that the Quran mentions about his sifat before we get into the story, because there's a nice story part, right? And but the characteristic of him, we're going to say who he was, what was he, what made him so notable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he was a Muslim. He was a Muslim. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala uses this title in such in such ways of honoring Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Allah Ta'ala calls you a qawm which is Muslima, or a place, a ummah which is Muslima, it is a sign of honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean to be a Muslim? It means someone who submits, right? Someone who actually bows down. People, unfortunately, today, they say Islam means peace. I say, where does Islam mean peace? Islam, you know, brother, like, brother, Islam means the beast. I say, where does Islam mean the beast? I said, Islam means to submit, right? It comes from salam. It comes from salama, which is peace. You can say that the root is peace, because if you submit, you'll find peace. But it means to submit, to bow yourself down. What is a submission? Okay, what in UFC? What is submission? You like put the rear end, you know, naked, you know, choke on this guy. You like suffocate him, and then he just passes out, right? That's submission, right? What happens when a guy's submitted? He doesn't do anything. He's like on the ground. He's finished. I'm done. I have nothing left. That's what it means to submit. So when you say I'm a Muslim, that means I gave my mind, body, soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not fighting anymore, right? I'm not arguing with anymore. I'm not debating anymore. There's no aql involved. There's no heart involved. Nothing. Allah, I gave everything to you. That's why in the Quran, the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam, inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal ardi. Ya Allah, he says, I surely turn my face. The most distinguished part of a human being is the face. The most beautiful part of a human being is the face. He says, inni wajjahtu wajhi. I turn my face completely. لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, to the one who created the heavens and earth. حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. This is who he was. He was Muslim on the highest caliber, because he gave everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways that you and I could only dream of,
And you and I, we make dua, Allah never test us like so. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam, when it comes to the level of sacrifice submission, there are things in his story you would say, Ya Allah, how could you even test someone like so? And then you say, Ya Allah, how could Ibrahim alayhi salam pass the test like so? Because those things don't even make sense to us, the things that Ibrahim alayhi salam had to go through. And so he's been tested and tried through his, Allah has been showing, to make an example for everyone. Obviously, Anbiya alayhi salam, if Allah there brings on a test for them, you know, Bara'un Hasan, right? They are tests to Anbiya alayhi salam, Allah knows they will pass. So they become examples for us, okay? So the Anbiya alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam in particular, has been tested and shown throughout his life, from a child, through a teenager, through an adult, after having a wife, after having kids, everywhere you're looking at this man's life, alayhi salam, he has been shown throughout that he's been tested, he's been struggling for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and subhanAllah, he has been passing these struggles. He gives everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah ta'ala calls him a couple of names in the Quran. I want you to remember these titles. The first thing is that what is the toolkit? What is the mechanism that Ibrahim alayhi salam had? What things make him so special? Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, for example, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمُ. First and foremost, when you're looking at Nuh alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala praises Ibrahim alayhi salam, saying that the same way that Nuh alayhi salam was from his Shia, from his group. The word Shia, okay, let's make sure we dissect the word first before you hear something wrong. Okay, the word Shia in its linguistic meaning, it means someone who allies with you, someone who is in your party. That's why they call themselves the Shia, because they're the Shia of Ali radiallahu anhu. Okay. Although we say they're not really, but it's what they name themselves. I don't know why you would name yourself that, but wallahu a'lam, no problem. Okay? That's not really our conversation here today. What does Allah say? From the group and the party of Nuh alayhi salam, who was a remarkable Nabi that stood in by himself in the world against all of shirk and idolatry, that stood for tawheed in himself. Allah says, from his group and his party was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Saying the same way Nuh alayhi salam was in the dunya, same thing as Ibrahim alayhi salam. In one way that they both stood for Tawheed. Number one, because they both stood for the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is because subhanAllah, they were both alone. Nuh alayhi salam was alone and Ibrahim alayhi salam was alone. And so what did they do? Did they ever back down? Never. Their hearts were, mashallah, what Allah that described in the Quran, Qalb Salim. This is a very unique term in the Quran. It's not used anywhere else. I promise you. Only in two places that it comes, or three places if you're taking, but Allah that only uses it in two places for one individual. Okay? So number one is Nuh alayhi salam, that he is number of Tawheed. Number two is that Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, they're both one person in the world arguing or debating for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three is that they're both fathers. Okay? Nuh alayhi salam is known as the father of, like he's known as the second Adam alayhi salam that we talked about before. He's known as like the second Adam alayhi salam. And so the father of Tawheed, the father of the oneness of Allah, of monotheism, is Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. In reality, the whole world owes a debt to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because he actually, everyone in the world will benefit from him. Either they'll benefit from him in the fact that he establishes Tawheed, or they will benefit from him that the fact that he negates shirk, right? It's either you're going to understand him by being a man of Tawheed, of oneness of Allah, or you're going to understand that he hated shirk so much, he negated it his whole life. In reality, he is the embodiment. He is the embodiment of the kalima, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha means no gods. No gods. Nobody. Illallah except for one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim was that man who was walking on this earth saying, La ilaha illallah, and he didn't care about anyone else. Allah Ta'ala honors Ibrahim alayhi salam with a special, I told you, a special gift. Allah Ta'ala says about Ibrahim alayhi salam, Inna min shi'atihi la Ibrahim, idh ja'a rabbahu bi qalbin salim. When he came to his Lord with a pure heart, pristine heart, perfect heart, peaceful heart, salim. The idea of being salim, right, to being free, to be at peace. What does this word salim mean? When you talk about a person who is salim, it means they are free from all types of filth and impurities. What are impurities that human beings have to experience? Jealousy, anger, hatred, animosity. You think about how many sins a human being can commit with his heart. There's a lot of things that go through a person's heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says from everything a human being has, from arrogance, from animosity, from hatred, from bughd, from kibir, from not having, you know, to be insincere, to not being genuine, right? Things like that. Everything there, Ibrahim's heart is not with any of those things. Allah Ta'ala says, this is his gift from me. This is who Ibrahim alayhi salam was. This is why you'll find throughout the Quran, he's an amazing person. When a person has qalb salim, when a person has a pure heart, what does that mean, subhanAllah? It means that no matter how bad you do to me, you'll never hear a word of curse from my tongue for you. Well, no matter how much you try to spit at me, the only thing you'll find from me is roses. La ilaha illallah. No matter how much you harm me and affect me and do this and this against me, you'll only find me to be tender and kind. I can show you this throughout Ibrahim alayhi salam's life. He's just someone, subhanAllah, that he lived just for Allah and only for Allah. And he always was kind to mankind. He was kind to mankind. So he was someone that you know that the reasons why the angels, they mentioned one of the reasons why there were angels that visited Ibrahim alayhis salam. They wanted to give him glad tidings. If you remember the story, that they wanted to give him glad tidings. I'm going to jump a little ahead and we'll come back inshallah. We didn't even get through his childhood yet, but you got to understand who this man is. Okay, when people name their kid Ibrahim, he bears a very lofty name, mashallah. Okay, so now it's my nephew's name too. Okay, mashallah. We're trying to revive the Bengali tradition of naming our kids from Anbiya, because we already have too many Shetus and Petus and different names, you know. God knows, right? Whatever. Allahumma salli Muhammad. The Qalb Salim that he received, when the angels came to his house, they mentioned a couple of reasons why they came. Number one is because they were going to tell him about what's going to happen to Qawm Lut, that the Qawm Lut was going to be destroyed. Okay. The second reason they came was to give him Bashara or Bishara for the glad tidings of his son, you know, Ishaq alayhi salam. He was going to have another son named Ishaq alayhi salam. Okay. And the third reason is because Ibrahim alayhi salam was such a noble individual that he said, I will not eat unless I have a guest with me. Okay. So there was a long time that he would go without food, without ever having a guest. And this was such a long time. So Allah wanted his beloved Khalil to eat something. So Allah sent the angels so he could eat with someone. He said that mehman nawazi, or being a mezban, to be a hospitable person is from my nature, is from my sifat. All the sifat that you have and I have that are good, you're going to find it embodied in Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah sent him the angel so he can eat something, subhanAllah. He just liked that. He said, I won't eat because why? If I'm just going to eat by myself, that's fulfilling my own heart. But I want to make sure I fulfill the hearts of other people as well. This is who he was, number one. What else do we find? SubhanAllah, such an amazing person he was. When the Qawm Lut was being told to him that they will be destroyed, the angels came for that reason of telling him, Qawm Lut is going to be destroyed. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he goes and says, and once alhamdulillah, everything settled down, what is it? Ibrahim is like, yujadiluna fi Qawm Lut. He started to argue with the angels, saying, why are you destroying Qawm Lut? Allahu Akbar. LGBT. LGBT. This is what they are. This is the LGBT to the max. This is the prototype LGBT. Okay? This is like your Windows 97. Right? This is the first one that is there. Right, these are the people, the homosexuals, Ajib people they are. SubhanAllah, who would argue to not destroy them? Ibrahim said, he said to the angel, he said, you can give them more time. They might make tawbah later. You might give them a little more chance. Why are we going to destroy them? Inna Ibrahima la halimun awwahun munib. Because he was halim. He was someone who's forbearing and patient. He said, Allah, if we are a little bit more sabir with them, maybe we can give them a little more time. Awwah. Allah is the sound that a person makes when they're praying salah before Allah. And they think about Allah so much with such humility and devotion. The only sound comes out of their tongue is what? Ah, ya Allah. Allahun munib. And his heart only turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah said, Ibrahim, ya Ibrahim, aridan hada. Don't do this, Ibrahim. Turn away from this, Ibrahim. Allah said, oh Ibrahim, there's something greater than this. But his heart was the heart of the soft Nabi, alayhi salam. No matter how many debates and da'wah he went towards, he never lost being kind and tender to the people. This is the heart of a da'i ilallah. Because what happens is when people give da'wah, may Allah forgive. But when people give da'wah with hatred in our hearts, we think we are better than the people giving da'wah to. So when you come to the door and you knock at it, say, brother, why aren't you coming to the masjid and stuff like that? All these different things we'll say. Right? And then at the end, they're like, they don't want to come. You're like, oh, what a terrible guy. What a khabis guy. What a bad guy. What are you doing? La ilaha illallah. You're supposed to be making du'a for them. Why are you making bad du'a? You're supposed to be making du'a for them. Why are you making du'a against them? SubhanAllah, no Nabi, Allahu Akbar, the Anbiya alayhi wasalam were so gentle and soft. Ibrahim had the most soft heart, Allahu Akbar. So this is who he was. Listen, when you give da'wah with hatred, you're only going to bring out arrogance in yourself. You're only going to become a mutakabbir, an arrogant person. When you give da'wah with love, the only thing you think about is, ya Allah, I should make du'a for them at nighttime now. I remember their name and I'll make du'a for them, subhanAllah. That's how it should be, mashallah. There's one sister, subhanAllah, that came to the masjid. There's one brother, alhamdulillah, he doesn't come so many times, but he sometimes here and there. He had married, you know, may Allah forgive, but he had married a non-Muslim. Allah forgive, right? The thing is that, like, he spoke to me and he said that, you know, my family, she needs this and this and this and some discussions about, you know, nikah, etc. I said, okay. So I came to spoke to her behind the partition and I said, sister, you know, mashallah, you've been married for this guy for so long. Why don't you just look into Islam and embrace it? It's a beautiful religion. It's a nice religion. It's a tender religion. It's a loving, beloved religion, right? Beloved religion. I encourage you just to research, right? And then subhanAllah, I helped her with the issue that they had with their marriage contract, whatever afterwards. SubhanAllah, he calls me 3 days later, says, my wife is, alhamdulillah, she's going to accept Islam. Then I said, how? He said, how? He's like, the fact that you just said to her just to research, she was just so inspired. She said, I never looked into the religion. And subhanAllah, she was so in love with the religion. Alhamdulillah, she took shahada the next day. Allahu Akbar. Just being nice and kind. You know, like, could you imagine what the heck I could have said to the guy? So many things that I tell you all, right? I could have said a lot of things to the guy. But I said, you know what? SubhanAllah, maybe this is an opportunity to give da'wah to such an individual. And she seems like an intelligent woman. So mashallah, Allah Ta'ala guided her to the truth. This is why we have to be. We have to think about these things, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam, subhanAllah. Again, he was someone who was gentle and soft. How gentle and soft was he? He comes back to Makkah, mashallah. After so many years, seeing Ismail alayhi salam, seeing mashallah, there's a huge population there. A huge qawm there, mashallah. Nice community. And he comes there and he says, Rabbi ja'al hadha al-balada aminan. Look at his humbleness. There's so much in his qalb salim, this pure heart he has. Such a humble heart. Allah, make this city into a city of safety and security. And make me and my children avoid worshipping idols. A Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, alayhi salam, who is protected from such things. Such humbleness and humility before Allah, says, Ya Allah, if you want, you can take away. Ya Allah, if you want, you can give. Ya Allah, please protect me from worshipping these idols. This is who he was, because he makes us understand, don't be arrogant with yourself. First thing, I've been born in a Muslim family, is that any protection from Allah Azza wa Jal? You make dua to Allah and you ask Allah for protection. In Riyabi innahunna allalna kathira minan nas. He says, Ya Allah, because they surely have misguided many people. فَمَن تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. Whoever followed me, Ya Allah, he is from me. وَمَن عَصَانِي. But whoever disobeys me, Allah. Allah, whoever obeys me, whoever follows me, he is from me, meaning he's from my qawm. Woman asani, and whoever disobeys me, what are you going to say now, right? If whoever disobeys me, Allah, فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا بَدَى, right? Be ready for the خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا بَدَى. فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. Say, Allah, whoever disobeys me, you're غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. Say, Allah, I tried my whole life to give da'wah to these people. And alhamdulillah, some effort is being done and people are accepting Islam. People are in the qawm of Ismail, they're coming towards Islam. Such a hard work he did his whole life, right? Say, Allah, whoever obeys, they're from me, Ya Allah. Whoever disobeys, Ya Allah, you give them forgiveness. This is who he is, just a soft, tender heart. He is qalb salim, this is what it is. Having a heart that is soft and tender and always going towards Allah Azza wa Jal. That's who he was. When he talks to his father, when he talks to his people, everything about him, mashallah. He's straight though, don't get it wrong. You're going to hear parts in the story. He hits hard and he hits so strong and sometimes arguments feel so forceful. You're like, how could you say anything else other than what he said? That's how good of a debate he was, mashallah. People are impressed by like Muhammad Hijab and some random other people that are, debating these people online and stuff. I said, you all need to see Ibrahim alayhi salam, how strong of a debate he was. People couldn't even respond to him. They had no job for him. The only thing they could say is what? Throw him in a fire, kill this man. Because nothing else we could say. That's how good of a da'i he was. Okay? This is Allah the second praise. He calls him from the qawm of Nuh alayhi salam. Number two is that Allah that gave him qalb al-saneem. And the third one, Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanitan lillah. Allah Ta'ala says, Ibrahim alayhi salam, like I'll tell some guy, he's like an army. He's a one-man army, right? He is a jund. He is an army himself. Or we say, man, the man's like a village, right? Or the man's like a city or a town, right? In Arabic, they'll say he's a qabila. He's like a whole tribe in one. Allah Ta'ala said on the highest level, Ibrahim alayhi salam by himself is an ummah. Ibrahim alayhi salam by himself is an ummah. That even though he's one man and one individual, one person, the same way an ummah operates. Because what is an ummah? An ummah is two things. Number one, it is that subhanAllah, you have a lot of people here. Isn't it easier, mashallah, when you have a whole bunch of people that follow the same path, the same trajectory, the same ideology, the same religion? Isn't it easier to practice deen, right? It's a little easy, mashallah, right? Alhamdulillah, people coming all from Maghrib Salah, people feel encouraged to come. But if you're just that one guy coming from Fajr, you're like, I don't know if this Mawlana, he could pray by himself. I don't really know if I should pray with him anymore. It just feels kind of weird. We're just one or two guys. It's hard. It's hard legitimately to pray with your only like two or three people. Who the heck wants to follow that religion, right? But when you see an ummah, mashallah, 2 billion people doing something. When you're in Hajj, for example, or in Umrah, for example, when you're going there, right? How good do you feel to pray? Oh man, this is a whole army here, mashallah. You feel good. And I want you to know Ibrahim alayhi salam was like that by himself. He had such bravery and courage. He didn't need people. No matter what people said or hurt him or offended him or anything, he would get up the next day to do the same exact thing. He's an ummah on his own. The numbers of an ummah, Ibrahim alayhi salam is the numbers himself. He's an army by himself, mashallah. Number two is what? An ummah is some people is a way of life. It is a trajectory. The word is the source of something. That's why, mashallah, you get the word from the word is mother, because she's the source of life. What's another word you get from You get imam. He's the source because he generates the prayers for everyone. And also the imam, he generates the ilm for everyone. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is an ummah in the sense that everyone follows Ibrahim alayhi salam. No matter what quality it is, whether it's tawheed, whether it's ikhlas, whether it's generosity, whether it comes from any good qualities, you find Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam be the one who exemplifies all these things, mashallah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, alhamdulillah, throughout the Quran, he's like this. Allah Ta'ala says, Innahu Ibrahim kana umma qanitan lillah. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجَهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ وَاتَّبَعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Allah Ta'ala says, who is better in religion? Who's better as a way of life than the one who submits his face to Allah? And then the one who is a good doer? وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. And follows the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala says to the Jews and the Christians, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًا. Ibrahim was not Jewish. He was not a Christian. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. No, he was a upright, upstanding Muslim. Allah Ta'ala said, that's his title, that's his honor. We have this problem. We think the Ummah Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are the only Muslims. No. When you give da'wah to the non-Muslims, you tell them very straight, everyone was Muslim. These are titles you all gave them. Ibrahim was not Jewish. When did Jewish come? Who is the Jews? Who are they? What language did Ibrahim Alaihi Wasallam? Did he speak Hebrew? What do people think? La ilaha illallah. All of our things are all completely wrong. The Jews are from Judah. Right, they're from the eldest son of Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam is the grandson of Ibrahim. You tell me the grandfather was following the grandson? What type of madness is this, subhanAllah? He wasn't Jewish. He wasn't Christian. When did the Christians get their name? Not even Isa alayhi salam called themselves Christians, right? This is a different name that people invented later on for them. Ibrahim was neither Jewish nor Christian. So I ask you, if Abraham wasn't a Jew or a Christian, what was he following? Right? If the door of salvation is the door of Jesus Christ, they tell you that the only way to the Father, to heaven, is through Jesus. Also, I guess Ibrahim was not going to heaven then. You boggle people. SubhanAllah. Maybe it could be that Allah, the God Almighty, what did he do? He revealed for every nation their prophet. And Ibrahim was a prophet from amongst the prophets. Like Jesus was a prophet from amongst the prophets. Like Muhammad SAW was a prophet from amongst the prophets. This is how you give the da'wah to the people and you tell them. Allah Ta'ala said, call them a Muslim. That is the beautiful title that he received. And so now, mashallah, we have an idea about who he was. The Khalil alayhi salam, the one who is the exemplar for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. For anyone who stands on haq on their own by themselves, to know how to be, to know how to deal, to know how to operate, it's Ibrahim alayhi salam. You have to understand who this man is. So this is why throughout the Quran, he's mentioned multiple times by one scholar's count. It was in 25 surahs, right? Which is approximately 1/5 of the Quran, basically, roughly speaking, 1/5 of the Quran. They said in 63 verses, Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned about 69 times throughout the entire Quran. To the point that when Allah Ta'ala mentions him, he's always mentioned side by side with other prophets. For example, his son, Ishaq alayhi salam. For example, his son, Ismail alayhi salam. For example, Ya'qub alayhi salam from his grandchildren. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ وَأَيُّوبَ وَيُوسُفَ وَمُوسَى وَهَارُونَ وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah says like that is Sulaiman, Dawood. Then Allah Ta'ala talks about Yunus, right? And then Ilyas. Then Allah talks about Ismail and Lut and all these other prophets. Who are they all coming from? Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay, even our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traces himself back to there. From everywhere you're going to see this man has been respected like so. So now, subhanAllah, let's get into his story a little bit, inshallah. There's so much we can discuss again. We love this Nabi alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'll mention this at the end as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he met Ibrahim alayhi salam in Jannah, it's mentioned either in the dream or in the Mi'raj. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he met Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Ibrahim alayhi said, oh Muhammad, أقرئ مني أمك السلام. Oh Allah, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go and give salam to your ummah on my behalf. Right? This is remarkable. He's not even from our ummah in that sense, right? He's way earlier. But he just feels an affinity and a connection to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah. So he says, make sure you all respond to my salam, right? And let them know. And then he says, let them know that the ground of Jannah is very fertile. It's a good ground. You throw a seed in there and then mashallah, you get like a banana tree, you know? You throw something in there, mashallah, something big grows. He says, know that the ground of Jannah is very fertile. And the way you make it grow is by saying, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, mashallah. Okay? Ibrahim alayhi salam, mashallah, he's known as, they mentioned in his title that they say, or his name, they say that he was Ibrahim, son of Terah, son of Nahur, son of Seruch, son of Peleg, son of Eber, son of Salah, son of Afarzad, son of Shem, which is Sam, son of Nuh, Noah, alayhi salam. Okay, so Allah knows about the genealogy here. They're mentioned in the books, Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi mentions it well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam said that, don't, when it comes to my lineage, to Sayyidina to Adnan. I'm sorry, to Adnan, the Prophet said that lineage is preserved. After that, they said كذب النسابون, the genealogists have made mistakes. So the Prophet said anything that goes beyond that, I don't know if it's correct or I don't know if it's incorrect. We just kind of stay silent on the matter. Okay. Ibrahim, we know for a fact though his son, his father's name was Terach, right? So the Terach had two, and then his grandfather's name was Nahur. Nahur, you know, he had two sons. One was Terach, and his other son, I'm messing it up. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, his father was Terach, and his Nahur had another son, and that son gave birth to his own kid, which was the nephew of Lut alayhi, which is Lut alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, his brother, Ibrahim alayhi salam's brother, they're both from Terach, right? This brother gave birth to Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam. So that was the nephew of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So there is a lineage that's being established there. Okay. So now they say that the name that the Jews and the Christians gave was again Terah, right? Or Terach, right? And the books come as with the Kha instead of the Ha. So there's a question in the Quran that comes that the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam's father is Azar, right? It's called Ibrahim the Abihi Azara, right? And when Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father Azar, okay. So the question comes is, what is the relationship between these two names? So scholars had some discussion. They said that maybe Azar, they said hypothetically it's possible that the name Azar is not referring to the father Ibrahim alayhi salam. Maybe it's the name of the idol, right? So they were, that Ibrahim alayhi salam was speaking to his father and then he was talking about the God, the idol, Azar, right? He's saying, oh, my father, this God you worship is Azar, right? And he started to criticize. Maybe that's one possibility. Another possibility is that the word Azar, right, is a title that the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam got. So his name is Terach and his title is Azar, right? Because you all know in his qawm, what was he doing? He was building idols. He was constructing idols. So they gave him this title, this name, because this is the honor that he received. Okay, this is a possibility. And the third one, which is also there, they say that the word Azar, it means in certain languages, it means Baal, which means misguided. So Allah Ta'ala was criticizing Azar by using a name for him, calling him the misguided one. Okay, there are a lot of different opinions on this. The strongest one, at least per our knowledge, our understanding, is that it's either going to be his title, because Azar in the Kaldi language is a very old, ancient language. Right, it means to be an elderly worshiper, a very old worshiper. Okay, so it could be his title. The thing is that sometimes what happens is that you probably notice this too in certain cultures, like Hindu cultures, that they'll name their children after gods. They'll name their children after gods. So you find, for example, Ram, right? People name their Ram Jaya, all these different things, right? Chandi, everything like stuff with all the different names, right? All these names because why? Because they think that you'll get honor by naming them after gods. So Azar's name is actually Azar, although he's named after God. It's just the fact that he was given that name as like the way that they used to do in their qawm, right? It's possible there. Or it could be his title. Azar in Persian, early Persian, also means fire, right? It means fire, right? They were worshippers, right, of many things, right? So it's possible, again, it could be his title. Or it could be that the Quran, subhanAllah, is giving his actual name and saying whatever the Jews and Christians call him is wrong. And this happens many times in the Quran. Sometimes the Quranic language and discourse is so ajeeb that Allah will talk about something that people don't know about. And later on, they discover these things. For example, I'll give you the name Haman in the Quran. Haman is known as the minister of Fir'aun. Haman is the minister of Fir'aun. Okay, the word Haman very much puzzled a lot of biblical authorities in the Quran because they said, we don't find Haman anywhere. Where is Haman? It doesn't exist. So later on, what did they find? When they do some archaeological digs and they go into the areas of Egypt, right? And they find out about hieroglyphics and they get a chance to use the Rosetta Stone, whatever, and they get the translation of these things. They find that Fir'aun, Pharaoh, at the time of Moses, of Musa alayhi salam, had a minister and his name was Haman. So then the Quran knew something that the people could not find out till much later. Another example of this in Ibrahim alayhi salam's life or his own story is that when Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, he talks about the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? The star. He says about the sun and the moon and the star. He uses this in his debate, right? And so many scholars of the past used to say that Ibrahim alayhi salam was just giving hypothetical conversation. It was just something he was saying, sun, moon, and star, because these are the biggest things in the sky. But nowadays we know, when you go to the early areas of Babylon and Mesopotamia, which is the areas that Ibrahim alayhi salam is from, that the Babylonian people worship three gods. They had the sun god, the moon god, and the star Venus, which they used to worship, which is the planet that we know of. So these three gods, this trinity of gods that they have, the Quran already identified them years before anyone found that out as well. And I feel Allah Ta'ala knows best, but when they look into it harder, maybe they'll find that the actual name of Ibrahim as father will be Azar. Allahu A'lam bi haqiqatil hal. Allah can do, right? And sometimes happens in ways you cannot even imagine. In the area of Babylon, in Babylon, in Mesopotamia, in school they learn about these ziggurats, these huge, like pre-modern observatories. that they're made for astronomy. Because what the people used to do, they used to worship through these ziggurats. They used to go up to the top of them, and they used to go and look at the stars and the sun and the moon and everything. And they used to do what we call this pre-modern horoscopes, right? So they used to check the different, if you're a Scorpio or a Capricorn and all these different khabis things. I have no idea about any of them, right? SubhanAllah. So they used to check these things, the stars, to see the alignments of them and say that this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to not happen. So they build these large structures that are happening amongst all the people. Along with that, what did they do? So they made sure that they would look up to the stars directly. And in order to connect with their gods, they would create statues in the ground, idols in the ground. They would craft them and carve them. So that way they had a connection. They said, our gods are too high and lofty. We can't connect with them. So let's create a medium, a wasila in this world so we can worship them and then we can worship our God. This is still done today. This has not been changed. Okay? This is the same thing the Hindus do. They say, no, the God is not here. He's not in the statues. Actually, we're connecting to the God. The same exact thing that's happening. The same thing that the Christians say about Jesus, alayhi salam. They said that no, he is like God's avatar. He's like God's, you know, character in this world. And that's what he's doing. He's modeling what God, you know, is in this world. SubhanAllah, la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. I didn't know God had to be born or go through a mother or, you know, go through suckling and to be raised as a child and, you know, have his diapers changed. I didn't know God had to do all those things. I didn't know how God had to use the bathroom. All these different things, right? Ajeeb things you're telling me about a God. Allah knows best, right? At least these guys, they made statues, right? And we could say something like a connection. You guys are saying such weird things. A human being does such weird things, SubhanAllah. And you're connecting a Nabul Nabi to such thing, waliyadu billah. So they created these things and they connected them to their gods. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam, he grows up not in the house of other people watching or spectating. He grows up in the house of one who's making these idols. So every day he would see his dad making new idols every day, carving and sculpting them and crafting them and building them. And so another idol. As mentioned in the books, that certain times his father would say, oh Ibrahim, take this idol to so-and-so's house, so-and-so's house, and so-and-so's house. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's a young boy. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. We surely gave Ibrahim alayhi salam his guidance from before. Rushd in Arabic is a very beautiful word. When someone is Rashid, beautiful word. Rushd means you always hit the target. When you're shooting the arrows, for example, someone who's Rashid is always hitting the bullseye. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, from when he was young, was always hitting the bullseye. He never messed up. So his father used to give him the idols and he used to go to the river and throw them in the river. And he used to watch them sinking. And he said that if you're real, if you're a God, if you're true, survive, live. And then you just see them sink and sink and sink. And he'd be very sternly rebuked by his dad for doing such a thing. And he used to go and he used to say to the people, "Ma hadhi tamathil lati antum laha akifun." Why are you guys making i'tikaf next to these idols? Okay? I'tikaf means, akif means you don't leave that spot. You stay there the whole time. Ibrahim alayhi salam is using this word very profound in the Quran. Very profound the way he's discussing. He says, why are you staying so stuck to this idol? You can't leave it, right? Because if it is a God, do you have to be there? No, he should be able to hear you where? Anywhere, any place, right? When we do i'tikaf, it's only for a short amount of time. Why are you guys never leaving the side of this? Do you have to protect it or something? Right? Because what happens once you leave, the golden Buddha is going to be stolen by the golden Shakil, right? We're going to rob this thing. SubhanAllah, like Allahu Akbar, like why is it that you have to be next to this? If he was God, if he was Ilah, he should be able to protect himself. And he called them Timsal. Timsal in Arabic is a beautiful word too. He said, what are these Timsal? The word comes from Masal. It's for statue, right? The word Timsal comes from Masal, which is an example. It's not the exact thing, right? For example, someone can make a nice, Muhammad, what's a nice bag girls wear? What is it? Gucci, right? And so then you get like the proper Gucci, which is like very expensive. And you get like the Chinatown one, which is made from the same factory, but they just put a different thing on, right? It's the same exact bag, la ilaha illallah. But they were such fakhr. And they can identify when it's real versus fake, right? It's ajeeb how their eyes work. A woman will walk in with something that doesn't look high quality, and she can already tell it's not high quality. Whatever, man, they're all made from the same, you know? People think like same thing with glasses, right? They think like, oh, this glass is very high quality, whatever. They're all made from the same factory, la ilaha illallah. You think they have multiple factories for these things? It's more efficient to just make them, just put different labels on them, SubhanAllah. Allah forgive. Any case, this is not the point of the conversation. Gucci, right? So you get like the real one and you get like the fake one. The example, the replacement. It's not the real one. The replica. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, why are you worshiping the replica? Why didn't you worship the actual God? That's not the real one. Why are you worshiping these things that you had to make with your own hands, that you made a replica? It's not the real one. And so he brings up this beautiful example to his people. قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا أَبَانَا لَهَا عَابِدِينَ. They said, Ibrahim, all this logic stuff is too heavy for us. Stop, relax. He's a young boy. They said, Ibrahim, they said, we found our forefathers doing like this. They worship them. Don't bring up this logic. Don't bring up this goofy stuff. This like this doesn't make sense and stuff like that. He said, no, our fathers are doing it. We're going to do the same thing. Don't bring up all this nonsense. They didn't even bother with the conversation. And I tell you, every person of shirk and every person of falsehood and people who are completely wrong will never speak to you about haqq because they don't want to speak about haqq. They just say, brother, leave it alone. You tell someone something's haram. You do this all in your own families. You tell them this is haram. They don't want to hear haram. They say, we've been doing this for a while. We're going to continue doing this. Leave us alone with your haram conversation. Allahu Akbar. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam hears this. They say that we're just following our forefathers. Qalu wajad antum. Antum aba'ukum. It says, قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا أَبَانَا هَلَا عَبِدِينَ قَالَ أَنْتُمْ أَبَاكُمْ. What was it? Yes, I will come. If I had a Quran with me, it's one. We've been talking for too long. My brain is a little bit, we've been going through ayah and ayah, mashallah. Yeah. Hafizah, okay, good job. The part that I wanted to quote for everyone, he goes and says, لَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ أَنْتُمْ أَبَاكُمْ ضَالِّينَ. There you go. That's the part. Jazakallah. I got it now. You all and your community, everyone is surely misguided. He goes straight as a young boy, right? And he goes and says to them, he says, surely you all and your forefathers and your qawm, all of them are misguided. It's heavy things to say from a young boy to go and argue against everyone in his community and say such a thing that you all are completely off, right? They said to him, did you come with any sign? Did you come with any proof? Or are you one of those players? You're one of those that's playing a joke or a game, right? And then he goes and says to them, he responds to them, he says that, but رَبُّكُمْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ الَّذِي. He says, your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, right? And then he says, وَنَا عَلَىٰ ذَلِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّهِدِينَ. I'm bearing witness against you about this thing. And he says, وَتَاللَّهِ, by Allah, لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ. He says, وَاللَّهِ, I will surely plot and plan against your idols, right? And then when you are not here, when you all are not present. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, as a young boy, will start to craft and think for a while. He said, I want my people to be guided. And know this, he's not a Nabi yet. He's not been given this Nubuwa yet. This specific incident that will come where he'll be given his Nubuwa. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam, the whole time he's plotting and thinking and he's strategizing. What is the best way? When they all leave, how can I make them understand and convince them of the right way? So then he started to make up a plan and he came together with a solution. So he said, you know what? There should be a good day I can do this. Let me not use my words ineffectively. Let me not throw them in a YouTube comment or a Twitter post and think I'm going to reach like hundreds of people and change their opinions. He said, you know what? Let me pick a good day to give them a good da'wah. And so then he thinks about it. He says, the best day that I can think of is the day when they go out for Eid because none of them will be here. Okay? So then they are, and so he picks that one day, that day of festivities. He says, on this day, I will plan and I will use my strategy that I came up with. So that day, they were all going to head out. And now they go to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And they say, Ya Ibrahim, why aren't you coming with us? Okay, now he's a little stuck. What are you supposed to do? You're a young boy, right? You don't have a lot of influence and power and control of your community. You can't just say, I'm not going. What are they going to say? You're being rude. They're not even going to bother listening to you. So he has to do something. So the Quran summarizes what he did in a very beautiful, ajeeb way. فَنَظَرَ نَظْرَةً فِي النُّجُومِ He took a quick glance towards the stars. Okay, he took a quick glance towards the stars. And so when this expression is used in the Quran, it's very beautiful. Mufti Shafi Saab, rahmatu alayhi, also Allama Biqai, rahmatu alayhi, many of the Mufassirin gave the same opinion. They said that Ibrahim alayhi salam was doing something very tactical because he knew that these people would not accept anything except what the stars say. So then what did he do? He took a quick glance. He looked into the horoscope. He didn't bother looking into it. He didn't want to read into it, but he just showed that he was doing it. And so then what did the people think? Oh, he's consulting the gods. Okay? He's consulting the gods. And that's what they thought. But that's not what Ibrahim Islam did. Nazra, very quick glance. He didn't have enough time. So what did he say? فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ. His body was not sick. Understand this. When he said, I am feeling sick, he's saying that I looked in the stars and they're telling me what's going to happen. I'm going to become sick. Okay? It's a very intelligent plan. He says, look, the stars, whatever I just did, is إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ. Because obviously they can see you can, you're not fake. He's not like, you know, his face is red. He has like a 101 fever or something like that. He looks very healthy, so they would never accept it. But they saw him looking into the horoscope and they're saying, or the stars, and they're like, oh man, he must be sick then. He will become sick. The gods must have told him something. So then what do they think now? They leave him alone. That's why, subhanAllah, it wasn't the, now you have to understand in the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ibrahim Alayhi Salam had three places where he did not speak the complete truth. So that's the kathibat. He did not speak the complete truth, okay? And Ibrahim Alayhi Salam, he considered this to be one of those places. They did not speak the complete truth. And by saying this, you must think like, did Allah protect us? A prophet never lies, alayhi salam. A prophet never lies. Because if a prophet were to become a liar, could you ever trust a Nabi? Absolutely not. And a Rasul, Ibrahim alayhi salam, you think he could ever lie? Astaghfirullah. Allah protect us from this thinking. But the thing is that he spoke something which is not completely clear. And prophets, subhanAllah, even now speaking completely clear, is not on their level in the darajah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he felt so ashamed on the day of judgment when people come to him. Says, "Ya Ibrahim, please ask Allah to start the day of judgment to finish this. It's too hot today." He said, "I spoke three things which are the complete truth. I said, inni saqim." You and I say inni saqim all the time. Sometimes, subhanAllah, just to get out of work, what do you say? Inni saqim. Right? What do these kids do? Mom and dad, inni saqim. SubhanAllah, just to what? Just to get away from certain things. Ibrahim said, "You can never even consider this to be a lie, la ilaha illallah. But just something which isn't the complete truth." He said, "It wasn't befitting of me to do that." Allahu Akbar. That's a high daraja he had, subhanAllah. He said, "This is too high." You know, every other Nabi, subhanAllah, had something very serious, right? Like Nuh alayhi salam said, I asked Allah on behalf of my son to save him from the fire of Jahannam. He's a kafir, right? Isa alayhi salam says, people were worshipping me, subhanAllah. You know, Musa alayhi salam says, I killed a guy, right? They all had like some big thing on the day of judgment that they say, "Ya Allah, you know, we can't ask you because of these things. We're a little ashamed." Ibrahim says, I spoke three things which were in complete truth. You know, like, subhanAllah. This is how the daraja of him was. Any case, inni saqim, I am sick. This means two things. Again, the idea that the constellations, he took their society and used it against them. So they understood what they understood. The second thing is that he was not externally sick, but internally sick. He said, "I'm sick and tired of your idols. I'm sick and tired of your shirk. I'm sick and tired of your nonsense. And now we're going to make you understand." So they turned away from him. So then what does he do? He takes his handy, trusty, heavy-duty axe. He puts it onto his shoulder. But you know what does he do? فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ آلِهَتِهِمْ. And then what does he do? Go straight to the temple where the idols are located. And he goes in there and he starts to see all the big idols, all the different statues, the ones that his father made, the ones that other people made, all these different things are there. And he sees every single one of them. فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ آلِهَتِهِمْ. So he comes towards them. He inclines towards them. He moves towards them with a certain goal in mind. Raga means to move with a goal. What is his goal? قَالَ لَا تَأْكُلُونَ. He says, "This is food. Why don't you eat?" Look how much he hates shirk. There's no one else there in the room. There's no one else there in the room. But he detests these idols so much. He just wants to make sure to make a mockery of them before he finishes them. He just says, "One last time, let me eat this food." The same way threw them in the river, all this different stuff. "Eat this food. Go ahead. Ala ta'kulun. Why aren't you all eating?" He uses the jam' muzakkar form, subhanAllah. He uses the masculine plural form in Arabic. They're not real, right? He talks to them as if they're real human beings. He said, "Hey, go ahead, eat it. Ma'alakum la tantiqun. Why aren't you talking? Nutq, give me a little utterance, say something, make a little sound, squeal. I have an axe in my hand, make a sound. You about to be murdered here, say something." And look at this, subhanAllah, he's saying all these things. Allah that loves his word so much, Allah that records in the Quran. Because there's such ikhlas in what he's about to do, subhanAllah. You can't do this. Don't, by the way, don't be like, "I was very inspired by Ibrahim alayhi salam. So all these people, this church here, that one, these are all my targets. I'm circling everything, LGBT, everything, gonna circle everybody and just finish everything. This is not for you, okay?" Allah Ta'ala says, "I approve Ibrahim alayhi salam's actions. I didn't approve your actions," okay? He was, subhanAllah, again, there's no deen that's guiding him right now. He's being guided by Allah Ta'ala's guidance alone. So Allah Ta'ala guided him to the truth by himself. But that's not for you and I to copy, okay? Don't follow the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, okay? Maybe is that clear? So in any case, he sees them. So he's so upset. مَعَلَكُمْ لَا تَنْتِقُونَ فَرَاغَ عَلَيْهِمْ دَرْبًا بِالْيَمِينَ. So then he goes and says, you know what? He takes the axe into his right hand. Right, this is why, because this is a Mubarak effort right now. So he puts it in his right hand, فَرَاغَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And so then he takes a big swing. Now it's no longer talking to them, now it's swinging off. And he swings and swings and swings. And he starts hacking and slashing. فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُثَاثًا إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ. And so he makes them all into small pieces. He completely destroys them. It's like when you have a little kid, 4-year-old, right? 4-year-old Yahya, going through your cabinet, la ilaha illallah, with all these glass things, la ilaha illallah. And the next thing you know, you look away for 1 second, subhanAllah. And you come back next second, everything's on the ground smashed. Right? This is it, right? As if they were glass, he broke them into pieces, subhanAllah. And then what he said, إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ. He says, you know what? After thrashing and destroying and smashing everything, he says, you know what? Let's leave the biggest one. And then he hangs, as you know, very famously, he hangs the axe that he brought. He says, "Here you go. You can have my murder weapon. No problem, right? You can have the murder weapon." So then he gives it to me, hangs it around the neck, and he leaves. And he waits, and he knows. He knows they only have one person as a culprit. Because where is everyone else right now? They're all outside in the festival and they're celebrating and they're being joyous and happy, right? Having a great time, wonderful time. And then until they're coming back after their long day of celebrating and rejoicing on the day of Eid, right? SubhanAllah. What a day of Eid it is for them. Allahu Akbar. They come back and they go inside the temple. And what do they find? Everything is smashed. Allahu Akbar. Imagine the shock and devastation, right? And so they are so upset and infuriated. So now they're talking to each other. قَالُوا مَنْ فَعْنَ هَذَا بِآلِيَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Who has done this to our gods? What's wrong with the statement? Who has done this to our gods? How could anyone do this to your God? Allahu Akbar. They're calling them still gods after seeing them in pieces. إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. He must have been some wrongdoer, some oppressor, some criminal. Yeah, they said that we سَمِعْنَا فَتَن يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We heard a boy, a young boy, يَذْكُرُهُمْ, mentioning them, talking about these idols. Right? يُقَالُ لَهُ. It's something said about him. I think his name is Ibrahim. Maybe it's Ibrahim something, you know? And Ibrahim is just waiting at home, you know, in his blanket, just waiting, just knowing that things are about to go through. So then, subhanAllah, they فَأَقْبَلُوا إِلَيْهِمْ يَزِفُونَ. فَأَقْبَلُوا إِلَيْهِمْ يَزِفُونَ. The word zifaf in Arabic is used for a very special place. You know zifaf? Laylatul zifaf. It is the marriage night. Okay? So you had, subhanAllah, at a previous time, where the woman, and you guys probably remember this because in certain places they still do this, they'll put the woman inside a hodach, right? They'll put her inside a palanquin, right? They'll put her inside this nice little, like, large, like, small little, like, it's not a, I don't want to call it a box, right? Huh? Yeah. It's, to me, it's like a, yeah, nice little curtain, like, covered, like, area, right? And they basically carry her on their shoulders, right? They put her into there, and then she's, like, basically walked over to the groom's house, right? SubhanAllah, if we had that, mashallah, how wonderful that'd be, right? But they, and so they are very excited. So they move very quickly. They move very quickly because they want to bring husband and wife together. So they are going. They are rushing. They are moving as fast as they can. They're trying to bring him to the area. Allah uses the same exact word for how angry the people moved Ibrahim alayhi were. That they were so upset. They were rushing to Ibrahim alayhi as if they're rushing to go and make his bride come to him, except they're going to come and kill him. Right? This is like the exact opposite. Allah is just showing you the rush and speed that they came towards Ibrahim alayhi. So they come to him, they bring out Ibrahim, and they bring him inside the temple, and they go and say, you know what, we're going to make a court case, subhanAllah. And Allahu Akbar, they gave him a chance to speak for himself on his behalf. In our communities, in our courts, Allahu Akbar, sometimes the criminal doesn't even get a chance to speak. These kafirin at least had some justice in them. They said, you know what, you get a chance to talk. Allah forgive. We're very unfair. Allah says, look, even a kafir had justice. Allama Bukhari said, why don't our Muslims act like this as well? Any case, so they talk to Ibrahim. Anta fa'anta hada. Did you do this with our idols? Bi aliyatina, with our gods, ya Ibrahim. So then he says, qala bal fa'alahu. Right? And so this is like one interesting place in the Quran. Very interesting place. This is where the second of these things that Ibrahim did not speak this, the direct truth. They say, bal fa'alahu kabiruhum. Right? Bal fa'ala. Rather, he did it. Kabiruhum hada. This is the big idol. They say that you can break up Ibrahim into two speeches. That's why in certain Qurans, they have a waqf. They have a place of stopping after fa'ala, bal fa'ala. Because they said that rather he did it. Right? Rather he did it, meaning himself. They said, kabiruhum hada. This is the big idol. Right? So he doesn't say that the big idol did it. He was just saying about himself. But he broke up his words in such a way that a person might think that he's talking about the big idol, not himself. Okay? This is one way of thinking about it. Another way is what directly. If I were to tell you that this stand today was leading the salah, what would you say about Imam Sab? Screw's gone loose. He's completely gone crazy. It's been 7 years here for now. He's done. Forget it. We put him in an insane asylum. Probably his wife got to him or something. Whatever. You make some crazy. He said, Bichala is going crazy. There's no way. No way this thing would talk. No way. So what did Ibrahim say? The big one did it. He says it in a way to make them, you know, obviously, what does everyone understand? The big one didn't do it. Yeah, he's giving them a, just, he's saying, rather, no, it wasn't me. The big one did it. Right? And then he goes and says, Fas'aluhum. Not Fas'aluhu. He says, go ask them, not ask him. He doesn't say, go ask the murderer. He says, go ask the victims. He said that you guys are all forgetting that this big one with the axe around his neck, I don't want you to ask him because a criminal will always lie. Even if he's an ilah, even if he's a god, he will lie. So he says, ask the broken ones, the victims, because they'll tell you exactly who killed them. Okay? So now there's a lot of things Ibrahim is trying to tell them. He's saying, if there are gods, even in this broken state, they still should be alive. So you should go and ask them. They should give you a job. He goes and says this to them, بَلْ فَعَلُوا كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْتِقُونَ. If they can speak. Right? So then, فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. This is one of the most remarkable places in the Quran. After Ibrahim gives such a profound example, for one brief instant, Allah gives you a zoom in into the hearts of the mushrikeen. of the apologies of his time. And Allah there shows you, فَرَجْعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. They go back into their hearts. Allah there shows you what's in their hearts. At one moment, they said to themselves, surely you guys are making a mistake. They're talking to themselves, oh man, we definitely made a mistake right now. For one moment, they realized that they were definitely doing wrong, right? ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا. Then immediately when they were thinking for one moment that they were, why are they worshipping stones and rocks and things like that? ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُوسِهِمْ. Immediately they picked up their heads. فَقَالُوا, you know, then they said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَىٰ يَنْتِقُونَ. Oh Ibrahim, wait, you know these things don't talk. قَالَ فَتَعْبُدُونَ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ. Do you really worship things that don't benefit you all and do not harm you? Uff. That's what he says in the Quran. Uffil lakum. Because you all and I would say the same as I think. Uff. What else do I have to say to you? وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. At this moment, what else can I tell you? You really worship things that can't talk, that can't benefit, can't harm, everything like that, whatever. They can't even move to each other. They can't even explain to you what happened. You really worship such a thing? Uffil lakum. وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Whatever you worship besides Allah. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Have no brains? Have no more aqal? At this moment, after being made embarrassed, he made the whole community embarrassed. And they have no other jawab. What else could you say at this moment? A small boy is able to refute all the entire community. And this is what I was saying about this jawab, this debate that he had. A beautiful explanation, strong explanation. It almost got through to their minds, but it didn't get through. And at that moment, they were completely dumbstruck and stupefied and completely paralyzed at the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So then what happens? قَالُوا حَرِقُوهُ. Just throw him in a fire, build a fire, kill him, just kill him. We can't take this right now. SubhanAllah, they have no other chance. And this is how you know you lost. And I remind everyone, violence is not the answer. You're never going to get anywhere with violence. Violence is the answer when you lost the intellectual argument. Violence is only the answer when you have no other good response left. So they said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, just burn him, right? One suru aliyatakum, help your idols, help your gods. Sorry, one suru aliyatakum, in kuntum fa'ilin. So then what did they make? Then they, فَجَعَلُوا لَهُ بُنْيَانًا. So they made a bunyan, right? They made like such a large, massive fire. Allah describes it. We're almost done, inshallah, 2 minutes. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when they were trying to prepare this, they said they kept them in imprisonment and house arrest for some time while they were building this. Allah described in the Quran like a bunyan. When they're making this fire, they were putting together all these different things. They put in the wood, they put in the kindle, they put in all the different pieces. They took out a lot of land for this, right? They made a huge, vast area. That's why it's mentioned in the books that it was such a large fire. It went for miles. It was such a large fire that even birds couldn't fly over it. Such a massive fire it was. That's why the Quran describes it like bunyan. They made it like as if you were making a building. You put all these pieces together. They made this huge fire because they wanted to make an example of Ibrahim that no one should ever talk like him again. Every one of our forefathers did this. How could you ever do such a thing? So then what did they do? They stripped Ibrahim alayhi salam of his clothes as well. And they tied him with the rope. And they left him in such a debased, disgraced state. They put him onto a pre-modern catapult to launch him into the fire, right? And at this moment, and this is the thing, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that on the day of judgment, because of the fact that they stripped Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam of clothes, that's why on the day of judgment, the only one who wears clothes is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because of the disgrace that they gave him in this world, Allah will give him izzah and honor. That's why if you're wondering why Allah didn't talk about Azar in very clear terms, because Allah doesn't even want to mention Azar's name. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam, why would he be connected to a mushrik? Allah loves Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's why at that very moment, he gets an angel sent down to him. And at that moment, the angel comes and says to Ibrahim, if you want, I can stop them all right now. I can finish the situation right now. I can save you right now. I can take care of you. Instead of thinking about all the situations and all the different movements and all the different positions that he could go towards, Ibrahim says, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is enough for me. Oh angel, you came for you? That's okay. My Allah will take care of me. I don't need anyone else right now. Not even impressed or surprised that an angel came. Right, so subhanAllah, the catapult is launched, it goes, and at the same moment where Ibrahim alayhi salam is right there at the fire, and the ropes are being burnt, and they're being roasted into a crisp. At that one moment, Allah starts to talk and speak. He says, "Qulna," we said, "Ya nar, oh fire, kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim." Become cool, not cold enough that you, the same way you and I feel when the AC is on for too long, becomes too cold. Become cool and peaceful on Ibrahim alayhi salam. Become cool and peaceful on Ibrahim alayhi salam. The same way he was Muslim to me, fire, become salam to him. The same way that you submitted to me, O Ibrahim, I'll make everything in this world peaceful for you. So he goes in the fire, the ropes are burnt, and people are watching from a distance. They're zooming in and looking inside the fire. They're looking to see Ibrahim Azam's burnt body. What do they find? He's just standing there. Completely fine. They thought at least the impact of hitting the ground would have killed this man. Nothing. He's standing there. Become cool and peaceful for one moment in all of existence. This one fire in this world has turned into a cool, peaceful fire. The fire one day, it told it's Allah that said, change his ability. Allah can do and he changes his ability. Now then they mentioned in the books that at that moment, Ibrahim alayhi salam, the angels came down and then they blessed him and honored him with nubuwa and prophethood. And so then he was there for quite some time. The books mentioned that he was not being fed or given any food or drink. Rather, Allah was sustaining him from his side. And at that moment, he was praying with the angels and worshipping Allah within the fire. For the next 40 days, what is he going to do? Just worship Allah Azza wa Jal. They said that he was honored with nubuwa at that moment. That when he got into the fire, Allah blessed him with prophethood as well. Made him a Nabi of all of time, mashallah. Ibrahim was honored like so. And so then finally, when the fire was taken out and doused, when they went to Ibrahim and asked him afterwards, how was your time in the fire? He said, wallahi, the days in the fire were the best days of my life. Because if Allah wants, he can turn a situation that everyone thinks is bad into something beautiful. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a reminder from myself for everyone, inshallah, that look, when you look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, look at it as a man, subhanAllah, that's willing to face everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And emulate and replicate and develop your life like him. So that way, inshallah, whenever you put through difficult situations, you find Allah does help as well, inshallah. We also say the same thing, hasbi Allah. Allah is enough for us. May Allah grant us afiyah and tawfiq, inshallah, and grant us the blessing and barakah. And may Allah bring thousands upon salamats and salam on Ibrahim alayhi salam, and salat and salam on Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم جزاكم خيرا